Okay, we're on page 1072 tonight. Today's class is sponsored by Moshe Mataban and family, not of his son's birthday. Because today he should have a successful year. Okay, we're on page 1072, Pasuk Tes. Seven lines in the end of the page. Vayedaber Moshe v'akeinu v'alvim. Okay, last time we were learning that when the Jews are coming into Eretz Yisrael, they have to take the stones, write the entire Torah on the stones, put them in the yard and bring them to the various different places in Eretz Yisrael. Last we were discussing how is it possible to have the entire Torah in 70 languages on two stones, and we discussed the miracle aspect of it and so on. Okay, now Moshe Rabbeinu is saying like this. I'll call Yisrael Lamer. Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the Kainim and the Levium, spoke to the Yidden, and they said like this. Haskeis Ushma Yisrael. Haskeis means literally be attentive. And hear Yidden, meaning, doesn't mean physically hearing, it means understand what I'm telling you. Hayem Azen Niyei Salam. Today you have become a nation. La Hashem Elokech to God your God. In other words, like this. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to the Yidden, okay, and the story in the Medrash is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, like it says before in the Chumash, to the Shevet Levi, his tribe. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to Shevet Levi, all the Jews came complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what, is it only your tribe's Torah? It's not our Torah? It's everybody's Torah. Why are you giving it only to Shevet Levi? So the Medrash said, Moshe Rabbeinu got so excited.
My baby, my mom, and my dad.
You're so lucky. So he said like this.
The Torah.
So the fact, Moshe Rabbeinu said like this. Now that you came to me and said you want the Torah, now you became God's nation. When you willingly came to me and complained, why am I giving the Torah only to my own tribe of Shevet Levi? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hayem as in now that proves that you're worthy of receiving the Torah. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. Now, the Mefarshim explained like this. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu over here is talking with the Kohanim and the Levium to all the Yidden? We don't find this anywhere in Chumash. All over Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu calls in the Jews and he gives them the mitzvahs of the Torah. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is doing it together with the Kohanim and Levium. And he's telling all the Yidden. So one of the explanations for this is because, like we said before, Moshe Rabbeinu gave a Torah that he wrote to Shevet Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that the Kohanim and Levium should come along and say to the rest of the Jews after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, oh, it's our Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to us. It's not yours. So when...
Was it Moshe Levi anyway?
Yeah, but I'm saying he wrote a Sefer Torah and he gave it to his tribe, which were Kohanim and Levium. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that the Kohanim and Levium, after Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, are going to say to the rest of the Jews, no, we control the Torah. It's ours. So in front of the Kohanim and Levium, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, listen, the fact that all the Jews came and demanded the Torah, so you should know, the Kohanim and Levium need to know that Hayem is and the Yeshalom, every person, all the Jews, is their Torah, and they have it. Okay?
Become the Hashem. How is power? They say you are the become of the spirit of Hashem. What they say? Moshe, as...
Why did they say you became God's nation? Because they said we want the Torah too. Why are you only giving it to Levi? Why only giving the Torah to Shevet Levi? We want it too.
Moshe can say that, this book?
No, Hashem told him to write a Sefer Torah and he gave it to his tribe.
So
the Jews came with a complaint. What do you also want? So Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now I see that you're a good Jewish nation that wants the Torah.
He didn't write the 12 Sefer Torah.
That was later. That was later. The day he died, or the day before, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sefer Torahs. It's an interesting discussion. I mean, when we get to Zeh Sabrocha. But the bottom line is, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. So the commentary says, it implies in the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sefer Torahs the day he died. So the question is the Shabbos. So the Chassam Sefer answers that he wrote it Hashposas Hakulmas, means the pen wrote itself. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, because Shabbos, he can't write. So the pen wrote by itself. But the question on that is, you can't use a miraculous Sefer Torah. In order to do a mitzvah, a mitzvah can only be done in a physical, natural way. You can't do a supernatural miracle. Because Torah is not in the heaven. The Torah has to be given down here. Like we learned, we discussed the clear, very interesting, clear example of this. When Al Trebo was in prison, and the prison was on an island that the prisoners shouldn't escape. But the interrogation room was back on the land. So they would ferry the prisoners from the prison to the interrogation room. So one time, Al Trebo was being taken to the interrogation room, and on the boat, he saw there was a beautiful Levana, and he didn't do Kiddush Levana yet. So you said, you understand, this is Russia, not the country club jails of today. This is Russia, you know what, they could kill you in a second. So the Al Trebbe asked the captain of the boat to stop the boat because he wants to do Kiddush Levana. So the captain said, well, are you crazy? You're a prisoner. I'm not going to stop the boat for you. You're not going to tell me what to do. So the story is, Al Trebbe stopped the boat. Miraculously, he stopped the boat. And Al Trebbe turned to the officer and he said to him like this, you see I could stop the boat? You see I could stop it. So I'm asking you for a favor. I'm going to restart the boat and I want you to stop it. I want you to stop the boat. So the guy said he had no choice, so he stopped the boat. So the question is, if Al Trebbe already stopped the boat, he could have done Kiddush Levana when he stopped the boat. Why did he want that he should restart the boat and the guy should close it? So the answer is, because you don't do mitzvahs with miracle things. Okay? Miracle. So the answer, basically, he wrote it at a Shabbos, and how can you write 13 Sefer Torahs in one day? It doesn't mean he actually wrote it. It means he had people writing it for him. And that's how they wrote 13 Sefer Torahs in one day. Okay, but that's really later on in Chumash. Okay, so now, Moshe Rabbeinu is like this. First of all, the question is like this. The pasuk starts, okay, that's a little bit later, we'll see that. Okay. Now this says like this. V'shamata b'kol Hashem alakecha. You should listen to the voice of Hashem. V'sisas mitzvayse v'chukot. And you should do his mitzvahs and his commandments. Asher anechi mitzav chayim, that I'm commanding you today. Now another interesting point over here. This pasuk in Hebrew grammar is Lashon Yochid. It's singular. Okay. V'shamata. It's singular. Vasisa, vasisem is plural. Vasisa is singular.
Yeah.
He's speaking to the Jewish people. Why is he speaking singular? Okay? So the answer is, because once the Jews became a nation, like he said, now you became, then they became all one. Because they all agreed to listen to Torah mitzvahs, so then they became united to the extent there are one people, one nation, singular. Okay, now it starts the next thing over here. Oh, by the way, another interesting thing. The Mefarshim explain that, and this Pasuk, by the way, Haskes, in the Pasuk test, Haskes is Shema Yisrael, literally means be attentive and listen. But Haskes also comes to what Gemara says, Kat, is kites. The Gemara says you should not learn Torah by yourself. In fact, you know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that David learned from Achitofel two things. Okay, what were the two things Achitofel taught David HaMelech? So one of the two things were David HaMelech was learning Torah by himself. And Achitofel said to him, he quoted this psukim over here, that you're not supposed to learn Torah yourself. And it says that there's a sword that they quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The only proper way of learning Torah is when you learn it with a group. Why? Because when you learn it by yourself, you have nobody asking you questions, nobody discussing, nobody arguing with you. It says, when you have a group of people learning Torah, everybody's sharpening each other. They're making each other sharp. And that's why he says, Shnayim Sheyeshvim, the Mishnah Pirkei says an interesting thing. Shnayim Sheyeshvim, Ve'ein Beinehem Divrei Torah, this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Two people sitting, and there's no Torah between them, to Meshav Leitzin. Scoffers, mockers.
What was the second one?
It says, Shnayim Sheyeshvim, Ve'ein Beinehem Divrei Torah means, if two people are sitting, and there's no Torah between them, so it's like a group of scoffers, Leitzin. So the commentaries ask, the Mishnah doesn't say two people not learning. Look what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah doesn't say two people are sitting and not learning, it's scoffers. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, Shnayim Sheyeshvim, Ve'ein Beinehem Divrei Torah.
Right.
There's no Torah between them, meaning this guy's learning his thing, this guy's learning his thing. The Mishnah says that's a group of scoffers. Because when you learn Torah, you need to do it in a group. And this is what it says. Haskes Ushma Yisroel, the Mefarshim explains, based on the Gemara in Brachas, that make kites, make groups to be able to learn Torah. Or it says in Chumash, Vayakel Meisha, it's called Adas B'nai Yisroel, beginning of Parshas Vayakel. It says, what do you mean by Yaakov Meisha? Meisha Rabbeinu made kihilis kihilis, different groups to learn Torah, because that's the success of Torah. Okay. Now it says like this. V'yitav Meisha Sa'om, Meisha Rabbeinu commanded the people, by Yemahu Lema on that day. Meisha Rabbeinu commanded the Jews following. Ele Yamdu Levarecha Sa'om Alar Grizim. Okay, we learned before in Parshas Re'ei, in Parshas Re'ei, the Torah was speaking about the curses and the blessings. Okay? The Torah says, you should put, the beginning of Parshas Re'ei, he says like this. The Satas HaBrochir, the beginning of Parshas Re'ei, it says like this. When you come to the land, when the Satas HaBrochir LaGrizim, you should put the blessing on Mount Grizim, Vesaklola al Hal Avel, and the curses on the mountain called Avel. Okay? Now the Torah is telling us exactly what happened. There was a general statement. When you come into Israel, the brachas are Grizim and the klolas are Avel. But now it says like this. But Yitav Meisha Sa'om Bayemahu Lemir. Meisha Benu commanded the people on that day. What does it mean? Okay, when you go into the, across the Yarden, so you're gonna come to Har Grizim, and you're gonna have, these are people, six people standing on the mountain. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. Six tribes on Har Grizim, which is the Bracha mountain. The Ela Yamdu ala Klola Bahar Evel, and these will be on the cursed side of Har Evel, Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Okay? So basically, as we're going to learn from Rashi, what happens like this. There are two mountains next to each other. They're not very big mountains, by the way. They show you when you go touring Israel, they show you them. They're not that very big. There was Har Grizim on one side, Har Evel on the other side. Six Shvatim stood on one mountain, six Shvatim stood on the other mountain, and even though Levium ran one of the mountains, we'll soon see, but the older Kayanim and Levium were in the middle of the two mountains. Okay, six tribes on one mountain, six tribes on the other mountain, and the Kayanim and Levium, the elder Kayanim and Levium were in the middle. Va'anu al-Levium, and then the Levium would say, and they would say like this, Va'am al-Kol Ish Yisrael Kodam. They would say it very loud. But this, before we learn the inside, this demands a little bit of explanation.
What did they say? They say every man is there. What did they say?
Okay, so we're going to see in the next 12 psukim, the 12 curses they're going to give. And the Torah just says there was bracha and klola. But if you see in the next 12 psukim, order ha'ish, order, 12 curses. Meaning like this. before they did those curses, they said the opposite in an expression of Baruch. For instance, the first one is, Adar ha'isha she'yaseh pesel masecha. Cursed is the person who make a graven image, a molten image, Tevas Hashem, which Hashem hates, abomination, Masi de Chorosh, a craftsman handiwork, the son Basa said, and he'll place in a secret, meaning he'll serve idols secretly, Vanu Kolam Vamru Amin. Okay, and then all the, as we're going to learn each one separately. What happened was like this. The Levium turned to Har Gerizim, where the six tribes were, and they said like this. Baruch Ha'ish, that doesn't make an idol. And both mountains screamed out, Amen. Then he said what the Pasuk says. Cursed is the person that makes this idol. And everybody said, Amen. Then he, even though the Torah only says the curses, but the Gemara, the Chumash itself really says, it was first Baruch, and they learned out bracha klala, each one, meaning they did one bracha, one klala, one bracha, one klala. And the Levium looked at the mountain of the bracha, they said the bracha, all 12 tribes said Amen. Then they turned to the other side where the, and they said the curse, and everybody answered Amen. Okay, that's the way these 12 things are being cursed. So the Mefarshim ask a very simple thing. Why didn't they say the blessing one?
Yeah, let's see. Why did they say
now, why did they, you know, Torah likes to say Baruch instead of order. So the Mefarshim answer like this. Number one, for the order, you get cursed. I mean, if you do it, you get cursed. If you don't do it, you don't get a reward for not doing.
Negative.
If somebody doesn't eat chazer, you don't eat treif, you don't get reward. If you eat treif, you get punished. Number one, so there's two things. Number one, the Mefarshim explained, for mitzvahs, the reward is much greater than just being blessed. You have Gan Eden, there's spiritual rewards, physical rewards, there's tons of rewards for keeping mitzvahs. In the negative sense, in the curses, over there you're going to get punished.
Rabbi, there's something is, you don't, they say don't do it. It's bad. But you want to do it. You know, once they are feeling that you want to do it, they should get up miserable for this one. Because you control your feeling.
Then you do.
So why don't get for the nothing negative, not miserable?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you're sleeping at night,
yeah.
Let's say, we'll be generous,
yeah.
6 hours a night.
Yeah.
Are you telling me for 6 hours at night, you're getting the reward for 365 negative mitzvahs that you're not doing?
It's not really.
Unless if you talk in your sleep and you speak Lashon Hara, unless if you eat in your sleep and eat treif, I mean, you're sleeping 6 hours a night, correct?
It's different.
What's different?
When something is delicious.
One second. So the Gemara says, when the Gemara has an expression, that if somebody doesn't transgress a negative mitzvah, we give him reward as if he did a positive mitzvah. That doesn't mean in the literal sense that when I sleep, I'm getting 365 mitzvahs. No. What the Gemara means is like this. When you have a desire to eat treif, like you said, if you want to eat something not kosher, and you don't, then you actively worked on yourself, and then you're going to get reward. But when you're sleeping, and you're not worshipping idols because you're sleeping, you're not going to get the reward. You're not going to be blessed for not worshipping idols, or for not desecrating Shabbos, or for not eating chazer. You're not, because you're not doing anything.
If you don't go someplace, it's bad.
That's only if you want to go there, and you hold yourself back, and you don't go there, so then you get a reward.
So this is the saying.
So Mefarshim explained the reason why it doesn't say the brachas, okay, is because, number one, there's different answers. The Mefarshim explained, because the reward of mitzvahs is far greater and far beyond that. And he says like this, and some Mefarshim answer, the brachas are not the reward for the mitzvah, because the reward of the mitzvah is an Olam Haba, and it's much, much greater. Number one. Number one, two, he says, Hashem doesn't reward you for not making idols or not doing all these things unless the situation comes up where you want to do it and you don't do it. Okay? That's basically what the... And another interesting thing the Mefarshim say, if you look at the beginning, back where we just started, Elu Yamdu, on the bottom of 1072, yeah, it says, Eile Yamdu Levareches Ha'am, to bless the nation. And then by the Klola it says, Ve'eile Yamdu Al HaKlola. It doesn't say Al Ha'am. By Bracha, it says, Eile Yamdu Levareches Ha'am, to bless the nation. By the Klola, it says, these are the ones for the Klola. Hashem doesn't even want to say the word that he's cursing the nation. So Hashem said, that's the curses. He's leaving out the whole concept of the nation because God doesn't want to curse the nation. Okay? Now, what's interesting is, Levi is counted, and Yosef's only one tribe. Right? We know the 12 tribes. Yeah. So if you count Ephraim, Menashe and Ephraim as two separate tribes, then Levi's not counted. If Levi's counted, then Yosef is one tribe. Menashe and Ephraim become one tribe. Here, by the bracha, it's Shimon Levi v'Yehuda, Yisachar v'Yosef u'v'Yamin. Okay? So Yosef and Levi, so Yosef is one tribe and Levi is one tribe. Yosef's not two. Okay? Now,
it's only this.
No, all of them.
Avera, this is not.
No, we're going through 12 Averas now.
That's only these 12, not more?
We'll see why these 12.
That's
there's another interesting discussion over here. Why only these 12? So let's read all of them and then we'll discuss it the way it goes on. Okay, so again, Rashi says what they did is, Rashi says in the Gemara and Saita, six tribes went on one side, the other six went on another tribe. The Levium faced Har Gerizim, they said, Baruch Ha'ish. The opposite of what the Torah says here, and everybody said Amen. Then they turned to the other side. They didn't do 12 and 12. They 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. They said, Order to Ha'ish, okay. Now let's see what the curses are. The first one we said, images. Then it says, Arur makla ava v'imai. Cursed is a person who degrades his father and mother. Okay? Meaning he's mezalzel. He doesn't treat them respectfully. Again, I'm going to read them, then we're going to discuss most of them separately. Everybody says Amen. Order Masik Vulayeu. Cursed is the one who moves the boundary of his fellow man. Va'amar kol ha'am Amen. Everybody said Amen. Order Mashke Iver Baderech. Cursed is the person that causes a blind person to be misled. Amar kol ha'am Amen. Order Mata Mishpat Ger Yosim. Cursed is the one who perverts the judgment of the ger, or the widow, or the orphan, and everybody says Amen. Order Sheikhe Vimeshus Aviv. Cursed is the one who lives with his father's wife, meaning even if it's not his mother, like a second marriage, or whatever. Kigila Knaf Aviv, because he uncovered the robe of his father. Va'amer Kolam Amen. Everybody said Amen. Order Sheikhe Vimkol Behema. Cursed is somebody who lives with an animal. Ba'amar kol amamin. Oror shechiv v'machese. Cursed is one that lives with a sister. Bas avav v'basime. Whether it's the half-sister from the father or from the mother. Amar kol amamin. Oror shechiv v'mchesantai. Cursed is one that lives with his mother-in-law. Ba'amar kol amamin. Oror makla re'el basoser. One who strikes his fellow powerfully in hiding. Okay? And Rashi says it means Lashon Hara. How do you hit somebody in secret? By talking Lashon Hara behind their back. Va'amar kol ha'am amein. Arul l'keach sheichat. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe Lahakis nefesh damnaki, to kill an innocent person. Va'amer kol ha'am amen. Everybody said amen. Order l'asher l'yakim is divrei ha'tera, seis lasi seiso. Cursed is the one who will not uphold all the laws of the Torah. Va'amer kol ha'am amen. And everybody said amen. Okay, so these are the sins. Now, why did they pick these sins? I mean, there's 613 sins. These are a little bit funny. Okay? So the Mefarshim explained various different things. Number one, some Mefarshim learned these are sins which are done in private. These are sins that the people do in private. Look at all these sins. They curse, don't treat their father and mother properly. They move somebody's boundary back. They lead astray a blind person. These are all things that you do in hiding. Secondly, it says that these are avedis that rich and powerful people do. They think they could do whatever they want. You know, they could do whatever they want. They think they're God. So they think they could do whatever they want. And therefore, the Torah says these 12. Okay? But there's a very interesting explanation which the Rebbe gives over here. And he goes, interestingly, each one of these curses is connected to each particular, one tribe. One curse is Reuven, one curse applies to Shimon and Levi and Yehuda. Okay? Because the Rebbe asks a question over here in the Sicha. There's a rule of Rashi in Chumash. The rule, the Mefarshim say, there's a rule in Rashi that any difficulty that exists in the Pasuk, in the simple meaning of the Pasuk, that a child will ask, that if a child's really a good student, Rashi comments about it. And if Rashi doesn't comment on an obvious question in the Chumash, that means Rashi is relying that the kid himself will figure it out because he remembers what he learned. That's the rule in Rashi, by the way. The Mefarshim say this in Rashi. There's books and books and books and books on Rashi and Chumash, and there's guidelines of Rashi and Chumash. So the rule is, there's an obvious question over here. Why these 12? Why is the Torah picking these 12? Right? Why? There's so many other mitzvahs. It doesn't say cursed is one that doesn't keep Shabbos. It doesn't say cursed is one that doesn't keep kosher. It doesn't say cursed is one that doesn't put on tefillin. Why is the Torah mentioning these 12? And like we said, the Mefarshim answered, these are powerful and rich. These are, people do it in hiding, so the Torah wants to make sure you're cursed. The Rebbe explains, Rashi doesn't explain it, because the kid himself, by hearing the curse, will know which tribe it belongs to. The kid learning, a 5-year-old kid, will know already what it exactly means. And he says like this. Okay? It says like this. The first one is, cursed is the man that makes an image. Yeah? In Lech Lecha. By the way, there's a very interesting question. The Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner, he's the patriarch of the Sharkever Chassidim, the Biyan Chassidim, the Sadiger Chassidim. The Eretz Yisrael, they're very big. So Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner, they call him the Heiliger Ruzhiner, the Holy Ruzhiner. When he was a little kid, and he learned Chumash with his Rebbe, everything that Rashi mentioned, the kid asked the question. The kid asked the question. It came to Yaakov's dream. The Pasuk says, what did Yaakov see in the dream? The angels were Olim v'yordim, going up and going down. So Rashi comments, L'cheira, the angels should come down first, then go up. Right? First the angels are in heaven, they come down, then they go up. And here, Rashi, so the kid's learning, the Rebbe's learning the Pasuk with the kid, and the kid doesn't ask any questions. He didn't ask the question, why does it say Olim and Yordim? And says, Rabbi said to him, Yisraelik, why aren't you, it's such an obvious question. He said, Rabbi, on a dream, you don't ask questions. A dream, you don't ask questions. You can't ask, why would the angel, it's a dream. Why, you dream crazy things. Everybody dreams crazy things. You don't ask a question. But the point is that anytime there's a question, Rashi comments. Okay, so he says like this. The kid remembers in Parshas Lech Lecha, okay, it says by the four kings and the five kings, so it says, Avram Avinu chased them until Dan, until the tribe of Dan. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi says, and we read 2 weeks and a half ago, what's Dan? Because Rashi says, the children of Dan were going to erect a golden calf there, in Dan. So when the kid hears the curse of idol worshipping, the kid automatically relates it to the tribe of Dan. Okay, number one. Number two, one who disgraces the father and mother, right? So the kid remembers like this. What's Ben Sardar Umayra, the rebellious son, yeah? Now, where Rashi said before, where does it come from? From spoiling the kid. Too much luxuries. Rashi said that before. The kid knew, Baruch mi banim asher. Asher is ishruni, fame, wealth, luxury. So when Rashi says, the Pasuk says, cursed is the one that doesn't treat their parents respectfully, the kid remembers what tribe does that belong to? Asher. Asher had an abundance of luxury. They were very wealthy from the oil. And therefore, that applies to that. Then it says, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. Yeah? Okay. This is the warning. It says like this. Yisachar chamer godem. In Vayichi, it says, Yisachar is like a donkey. Revet bein ha-mishpasayim. Rest between the city boundaries. It rests between the city boundaries. So when it speaks about not moving somebody's boundary back, the kid right away remembers what he learned. And he said, that's the tribe of Yisachar. The one who leads a blind thing, okay? Rashi says, Rashi earlier in Chumash, in Parshas Pinchas, Rashi said, seven families, when they were counting the Jewish people, so seven names were missing from an earlier count of the Jewish people. So Rashi says over there, seven people from the tribe of Binyamin decided to go back to Israel and they were killed. Egypt. Yeah. They were about to go back to Egypt and the Plishtim killed them. So when the kid hears now about misleading somebody in the way, the kid knows right away who it is. The judgment of a convert, who judged people? The Pasuk says, Yehuda was the one that tried before. It says, Yehuda judged the people. Who wanted to, it says, cursed is the one that lives with his father's wife. Reuven, with Bilhah. Mm-hmm. Cursed is the one that lives with any animal. Who had an abundance of animals? Reuven and God. So it replies to God. Cursed is the one that lies with his sister. Okay? By Naphtali it says, Naphtali al-Kim Niftalti im Achaisi. When Naphtali was named, he became connected with his sister. It applies to Naphtali. One who lies with his mother-in-law, who is that? Yosef. Because Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce him. Who did Yosef end up marrying? Potiphar's daughter. So Mrs. Potiphar was his mother-in-law. And she tried seducing him. Cursed is the one who hurts his fellow by speaking bad about him. What did Shimon and Levi do? It says, Shimon and Levi spoke bad about Yosef. Cursed is the one that takes a bribe for an innocent person. Who is that? Zvulun, who are business people. So you see, the Rebbe explained, that the kid understands each one of these psukim refers to another tribe. And therefore the Torah picked only these 12 curses. Because the Torah is referring to the 12 tribes, and the Torah is saying each tribe was connected to one of these curses. Okay, this is the one of the reasons. Now, by the way, when the Torah, just discuss a few of them. What the Torah says, and this is an interesting concept, Mashki Iver Badorach, who causes a blind person to go astray, okay? It doesn't mean only blind people.
Any people.
Misleading anyone who is blind in this particular thing. Six. Meaning, if somebody asks you advice, and you intentionally give them wrong advice, it's lifnei iver leisitin mechshol. If you do something that will cause somebody else to sin, if you're transgressing before a blind man, don't put a stumbling block, don't lead a person astray. So it doesn't only mean literally, if you get a blind person and you make him go in the wrong way, it means anytime you mislead somebody, whether it's giving advice, physically, spiritually, is all included in the Saveda. And if you don't do it, obviously you're blessed. Okay, now why does it mention, the Rashbam said, the Rashbam explains, these, like we said before, these sins are all done in private. Now, why does the Torah pick from all the forbidden relations? The Torah says, your father's wife, your sister, your mother-in-law, okay, because those are the people you hang around with. Those are the people you hang around with. Huh? So it could be done secretly. It's not public. It's secret. It's within the confines of your own home. You could be doing. So the Mefarshim explained that's what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says. That this is the.
One of them is secretly. Well, the first one, what to say? One of them secretly, one of them what?
No, these are all rich people rich do it people, because they think they're very powerful.
Yeah, rich people.
But it's interesting, in middle of the. Mefarshim point this out. In middle of the incest stuff, it sticks about. Sheikh ibn Behema. It speaks about your father's wife. Then it says animal. So it says, Dor HaChaim explains that incest with a person that's incest is as bad and as despicable as having relations with an animal. Okay? By the way the world is going today, is off the record, I know it's on tape, but off the record, they will soon permit marrying your animal.
Dogs?
Yeah, it's soon going to happen, trust
they,
me.
They give the whole inheritance to dog now. Everything they have, they dog.
Yeah. All the things that are going now in the world that they permit, this marriage, that marriage, that marriage, the next one in line, by the way, watch, mark my words, not in a year or two, but in a number of years, it's going to, they're going to permit marriage to animals. And they're going to get rights.
Divorce and the other, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Get Social Security. What?
I don't know if it, is it really going to be that long? I don't know. I feel like it could be even sooner.
Be sooner than a year or two?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I
agree with you.
How do they make a park here? Like a cheap bill.
Okay. Next is another. We're not done with this, by the way. Okay, giving somebody bad advice. By the way, another interesting thing, the Mefarshim point out a bunch of interesting things here. What does it mean, taking away somebody else's boundary? It's called Asogas Gvul. Asogas Gvul, literally in the biblical sense of the word, is, you know, years ago, we had properties, this is your property, this is my property, and this is the fence in between them. So what people would do, they would move the fence back.
To get more land.
Well, I move the fence back into your land for me to get more land. They put the fence here and, you know, basically cheating. But that also refers, Mefarshim saying an interesting thing, it refers to if somebody, you ask Hashem that somebody should die, that you should take over. Kdei lirish gedulosam. And but the Mefarshim said this was not of an avil. The Gemara says, by the way, the Medrash says, Nadav and Avihu, one of the reasons they died, okay, there's a lot of, six reasons the Mefarshim say that they died. One of the reasons is, Nadav and Avihu were once walking, this is what the Medrash says, were once walking behind Moshe and Aaron. And Nadav and Avihu said to each other, when will these two old guys die that we could take over? And that was one of the reasons the Mefarshim explained that they died. So this is part of taking somebody's boundaries back, okay? That no matter what it is.
Including private boundary also?
Yeah. But for instance, in Shunar, there's a whole thing about, it's called Asagas Gvul. But Asagas Gvul is not such a simple din. For instance, in Halacha it says, if somebody has a store, see somebody has a grocery store, and you want to open up a block away, another grocery store.
Normal, yeah.
Huh?
Here is normal.
Yeah, but Halacha says you're allowed to. Halacha says, Midas Chassidus, if you want to be, you know, better, it's not a good idea to do. But for instance, what's interesting though, if a guy from out of town, let's see, there's a grocery store here. And a guy from out of town wants to open another grocery store and a block away, the Bezdin of the city can stop the out-of-town guy. They can't stop the in-town guy. He lives here. He has a right to make a living. But they can stop somebody from out of town. There's a lot of dinim of Asagas Gvul where it applies, and if it doesn't, when it, and there's a whole section in Shulchan Aruch just on the dinim of Asagas Gvul. But the Torah says, not only do you get the punishment for doing it, but the Torah says in addition to the punishment for doing all these sins, you're cursed. If somebody lives with his father's wife, somebody lives with his sister, there's capital punishment. It's kares, or whatever the punishment is. But the Pasuk here is saying, not only do you get the punishment, but you're cursed. The Torah curses you for doing such a thing. But the last thing over here is very interesting. Okay? The last thing is, let's see, Pasuk Chavav. Ordered Ashala Yokim as Divrei HaTorah Zeis Lasi Seisa. Cursed is the person who will not uphold the words of this Torah to perform them, and everybody said Amen. Okay, what does this mean?
This is a hard one,
huh? Huh?
It's very hard one.
It's a very interesting note. The Ramban explains, what does this mean? It says, as Divrei HaTorah Zeis Lasi Seisa, the entire Torah. If a guy says, you know, I'm going to keep 612. 613, not interested. That's what he's getting ordered. He's getting cursed. The Ramban says, bring it down to the bottom. He says that every Jew must accept Torah validity in full and dare not claim that even one of its commandments is not relevant. However, this curse, as the Ramban says, is not imposed on a Jew who commits a sin. You sin, you have a yetzer, you sin. The curse is when you say it's not a mitzvah. It's not relevant. It's not from God. It's not Torah. The Ramban writes, by the way, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that if a person doesn't believe in Torah min Hashemayim, the oral Torah comes from heaven. If a Jew doesn't believe that every part of Torah is relevant to every Jew, they're an apikratus, elam chelak lolam abo, I mean all the, and that's what the Torah says here. Lo yokim es divrei HaTorah aseis, la seis eisem, not only to establish it, but the Torah says you need to do it. Okay? Now, the Ramban also quotes a Yerushalmi that says, that a person, and this is another pretty bad curse, if I can influence somebody to keep Torah and I don't, this is the curse including this.
Wow.
It is says, and he quotes it, it's written in this Chumash at the bottom, by the way. This curse also applies to anyone who can influence others to be loyal to the Torah, but does not care to do so, especially people in positions of authority who have the power to mold the behavior of somebody else. And then he sort of like this. Even someone who studies Torah and is rigorously observant, he's very frum, but he is unconcerned about the shortcoming of others, even though he can help them, is included in this curse. And then he says, okay, next thing is, he brings down an interesting story to Chofetz Chaim. He says, not only have to support Torah study, each according to his own ability. He said, the Chofetz Chaim once told ruefully of a wealthy man who gave a relatively small contribution and justified himself by saying he gave to many institutions and individuals. Okay? Seems that Chofetz Chaim asked him for a donation for his institution, and he said, I give so many places, he gave. The Chofetz Chaim surprised him by asking him to make an accounting of his charities and household expenses. It turned out that in 1 year, he spent twice as much on draperies than he gave for Torah education. In his own, so the Chofetz Chaim said, this is what the Torah means. Lo yokim doesn't only mean to learn, it means to establish. The Torah should be able to be learned and taught and all that. So this is another interesting concept. Okay.
This one, who's Shevet? Which Shevet do this one? The Torah one?
The Torah one is, I think, all of... One second. That's... No. This is for all of them. This is an additional, beyond the 12. Okay, now there's another interesting thing over here. The Gemara says that this pasuk, like we just explained it, but the Gemara learns out from this pasuk the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, that all Jews are responsible one for the next. And the Gemara says, not only, and this began now, by the way, the concept of each Jew responsible one for another begins now. And at this point, and the Gemara says there isn't a Jew that didn't have a 48 covenants, and then there's other opinions that say, well, how much is it? It's a tremendous amount. For 600,000 Jews, X amount of responsibilities. What does this mean? Gemara learns out from this pasuk in Saita that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. All Jews are responsible one for another. Which explains, by the way, let me just go off a little bit to explain a few interesting halachas based on this din. A kid cannot make kiddush for an adult.
Yeah.
Correct?
Right.
A kid cannot blow shofar for an adult.
Under bar mitzvah.
A kid, under bar mitzvah, yeah. The katan. Why can't he? Because if you're not obligated in it, you can't do it. Women who biblically are not obligated in Shofar, even though nowadays they accepted it upon themselves, but biblically it's a mitzvah connected to time. If a woman blows Shofar for a man, he's not Yetzer. Why? Because one who is not obligated
is not effective.
Cannot do it for somebody who is obligated. Yeah? So now the question is like this. I heard Shofar already. I'm a man. I heard Shofar already. Can I blow shofar for somebody who didn't hear yet?
Yes.
1 minute. Am I obligated? Am I obligated now?
Yeah, you're obligated.
No, I did it already.
You did, but for somebody...
Oh, 1 second. So the question is, if I'm not obligated to blow shofar anymore, how can I blow it for the guy that didn't hear it yet? Right? So the question is a halacha question. The answer is this pasuk. If I'm responsible for you, that means, even though I did the mitzvah already, but I have a responsibility that you do the mitzvah already. That you do the mitzvah. And therefore, even though I'm not obligated for myself in the mitzvah, but I'm obligated for you that you do the mitzvah. And therefore, I could blow shofar for you.
You make kiddush for multiple people.
make mitzvah kiddush for multiple people for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm not obligated anymore.
Make Abdallah more full time?
No.
Well, for women, because it's a question if women are obligated in Abdallah. I mean, everybody says, yeah, Dr. Rebbe says no, but because they might not be obligated in Abdallah, so if you heard it already, you can't make for a woman.
You cannot do that?
No. Again, there's a difference of opinions.
What about for the man? Man for the man?
Man and man can make Abdallah.
Multiple men.
Yeah. But why? Why? Because I am responsible to you, and therefore, but where do we see in the Torah that responsibility? So Gemara learns it out from this pasuk. Lo yakim is divrei haTorah as eslas they say something. You just said if you can influence somebody else, this is based on the Gemara learning this pasuk. If you have the ability to do it for somebody else and you don't, so then you're cursed because you're not keeping Torah going. And it's an interesting expression. If you look in the Gemara, the Gemara's expression is Kol Yisrael Adavim Ze Baza. Now, according to Hebrew grammar, it should say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze, one to another. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Ba Ze literally means every Jew is responsible, one in the other. It's not in the other, it's to the other. So it should say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze. Why does it say Ze Ba Ze? The explanation is, Arevim, Arev, means guarantor. Why do you say guarantor and ariv? Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Ba Ze literally means they're responsible. But ariv also comes from the word ta'aruves, mixed, a mixture. And ariv, with an ayin reish beis, which also means, arivos means sweetness. Right? Ariv has three definitions to it. I'm not even talking about the word ariv, which is the same letters. But the word arev has guarantor, meaning responsible one for another. It means mixed taruves, a mixture. One of the makas in Mitzrayim was arev. What was arev? A mixture of wild animals. And arivos means sweetness. Not only does it mean Jews are responsible one for another, it also means Kol Yisrael arevim are mixed one in the next. Why are we responsible for one another? Why am I responsible for you? Think about it. You're you, I'm me, I got my own headaches. What do I have to care about you for? No, really, why should I be? What right does the Torah say?
You the Rav.
What right does the Torah have? She could do whatever he wants. What right does Torah say that I'm responsible for you? You're you and I'm me. What if I see you sinning, by the way, and I could stop you and I don't stop you, so I get a sin also. They're not stopping you. Yeah? So explanation is, because if we're one big chalant, if we're one big mixture, it's like one big body. So just like the head's responsible for the foot, and the foot's responsible for the head, and he can't say, hey, why are you, who are you, why are you mixing into my business? The answer is, we're all mixed together. So the reason why he called Yisrael, and therefore, by the way, and therefore it comes a third interpretation, when all the Jews are mixed together and they're all one, then they're sweet. Then you have a sweet nation. So it means responsible. Why are we responsible? Because we're mixed. And when you're mixed, you become sweet. But this is all derived from this pasuk. And it works both ways. I'm responsible to make sure you do a mitzvah. And I'm responsible to make sure you don't do an aveda. And this is mamish this last one and a half lines. Ashal yokim es divrei haTorah as eslas they say some. Because there's a double expression. Yokim and lasis. Okay? So, we have to keep all of Torah. In other words, like we said before, from the Ramban, that the whole Torah must be kept, not even one, we're into Mashiach, but the Rambam writes that whoever doesn't believe in Mashiach, and then the Rambam writes, by Eina Mechaka Lebiyosei, he's not anxiously waiting for him, The Rambam says two things. A person who doesn't believe in Mashiach, or who doesn't anxiously await his coming, he says, is denying the entire Torah. That's what the Rambam says. He's mamish denying, whatever the expression in the Rambam, he's denying the entire Torah of Eden. Because if a person says, and this the Rambam says this also, if a Jew says, one mitzvah is not from God, but one mitzvah later, he's a total apikadus. He's keeping 612 mitzvahs. So he said, like we said, it doesn't mean he doesn't keep it. But you say that, like this, there's a mitzvah, I'm not keeping it. Okay, I have a yetzahar, I'm not keeping it. But to say it's not from Hashem, that's mamish a curse completely. And then it's understood that the first was the baruch, that the first gave a bracha to all those that kept it, and v'amar kol ha'am amen.
The list of baruch is different with this list, huh?
It's the same thing, just in the form of baruch. Except, who doesn't do these things? Blessed is the person who doesn't make idols. Blessed is the person who doesn't disrespect his parents. Blessed is the person who doesn't move back boundaries, you know. Okay.